Okay, we are in Yudalev on base. Yeah. No, you didn't miss anything. Yeah, right there, the Mishnah.
Well, that's right. You weren't here Thursday.
I wasn't here Thursday. I wasn't here yesterday. So that's what we're up to. Okay.
All right.
Let me find a place in here. Koshu b'soch beis rova. Anything which is there's a halacha that between two types of grain, one has to make a distance of 10 amos, 10 amos and a half, or 10 amos and a quarter. It's an area of called the beis rova, which is what? No, yeah, two types of grain. Yes, any type of grain. The beis rova is a quarter of the area of 50 by 50. So 50 square amos, so it's about approximately 10 by 10. No, that's not. That's from the previous quarter. Okay. So name it. So kosher b'soch beis rova, even if the thing's growing within that distance of 10 amos between the two types of grain, they count to make up the measure of 10 and a quarter or 10 and a half amos. What are such things? Achilas hagefen. If you have growing there in those 10 amos a grapevine. Halacha is that on either side of a grapevine you have to have six tefachim of distance for the grapevine itself. So that six tefachim, which of course is one amma, on one side, and the six tefachim on the other side make up 2 amos of the 10 amos of distance between the two types of grain. The one is going to ask, what about the grapevine itself? Kever, if you have a grave. So even though now to plant in the area of the grave, it's forbidden to plant there. Anyway, regardless of whether there's a problem with kilayim or not, nonetheless, the fact that there's a kever there tells us that the kever joins it comprises part of the shear of the 10 amos between the two areas of grain. Vasela, also, if you have a stone in the middle, which obviously can't be planted because it's a stone. So nonetheless, only midas beis rova, all these things count as part of the measure of a beis rova. Tavua b'tavua beis rova. The shear between two types of grain is beis rova, which is, again is one quarter of the area of 50 square amos, which means approximately 10 by a quarter or 10 and a half. Yerek b'yerek, between two types of vegetables, right? Not grains, vegetables. The shear, two types of vegetables, so the shear is 6 tvachim. Much less, 6 tvachim, which is 1 amos. So between two types of grain, say between wheat and barley, you need 10 amos. Between 10 amos and a remainder. Between two types of vegetable, you only need a 6 tvachim, which is 1 amos. Tvua noita agabe tvua. If you have, let's say, in that a gap of 10 and a quarter, 10 and a half amos between the two fields of grain, what happens if some of the grain is inclining in towards the middle, towards the area of the interruption? Or Yerek or Gabierek, the same thing where you have vegetables inclining in towards the area of interruption, so it diminishes the interrupted area. So, or Tvua Gabi Yerek, you have Tvua inclining towards grain, inclining towards vegetables. Yerek Gabi Tvua, vegetables inclining towards grain. Hakomutu, it's all okay. Doesn't matter. As long as at the base there's the proper distance. Yeah, the roots, even if it goes up and the top and four and comes close together, it's okay. Chutzmit Lasivan is except for a Greek gourd, because Greek gourds are particularly luxuriant foliage, and therefore if it inclines in towards the interrupted space, the vacant space, so it's a very improper. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Afakisho Supola Mitri. The tradition I have is that this applies also to kishus, which is the hops or some other type of squash, I'm not sure exactly which one, and also applies to Egyptian legumes, that they're also, their foliage, if it leans toward and takes us on the vacant space, then that's no good. However, Ron is the Rebbe Midvorai, I believe that, says Rebbe, that my colleagues were correct in that they said this halacha, this chumrah, of not allowing any inclination towards the vacant space, only applies by the last Yvonis, by the Greek court, and not by the legumes and such like. Rabbi Bun Barchia, hi. You joining us?
Are you coming in part?
This is where we are. Rabbi Bun Barchia. Rabum Rechi b'shem Rabbi Zira, Rabum Rechi b'shem Rabbi Zira, lo shonu el achilas hagefen. This is only true by that which we said. There's halacha that between two different types of grain, in order to prevent them from becoming kilayim, you have to have a vacant space. That vacant space is approximately 10 amos, a little bit more than 10 amos. Of that vacant space, suppose you have an area which you can't plant anyway, not because you're intentionally leaving it fallow for the purpose of avoiding kilayim, but rather because you have some other reason which you must leave it fallow. For instance, in this case, you're talking about a case where you have a grapevine within those 10 amos. And since you have a grapevine within those 10 amos, so therefore the halacha is that in order to distance that grapevine from any other growth in and of itself, it has to have 6 tefachim around it. So those 6 tefachim, our Mishnah said, they comprise part and parcel of the 10 amah distance. However, lo shonu el achilas hagefen, it's only true about that area which the grapevine has around it, meaning 6 tefachim in all directions, hagefen atzmo lo, but not the grapevine itself. Whereas the grapevine itself, let's say the grapevine is 3 tefachim thick. So you need to tack on an additional 3 tefachim to the 10 amos. The vine itself, the tree itself, doesn't join in to be considered interrupted space between the two different types of grain, only the surrounding area around the grapevine.
Is it because of all the
reason? No, it's because the Gemara says, Lama mibneshi asura banoya. Why? Because the grapevine itself is forbidden to commingle with the grain. So therefore, you cannot count the grapevine as part of the separated space between grains, because if that were to mingle with any grain, it would make that grain forbidden. So therefore, it must be regarded as, so to speak, extraterritorial. Okay? These are only edible, right? Kilayim only applies to edible plants, not to any inedible plants. Vare asked the Gemara, that can't be the logic. Wait a minute. Vare a kever osur banoya, a grave is forbidden to have, you're not allowed to have benefit with it. And nonetheless, we said that in the Mishnah, the vacant space of a grave does join up to create the 10 amo space. So what's the difference? So Gemara gives a very obvious difference. Kever any suronikar. But a kever, it's not obvious that it creates, and I'm going to explain this perhaps more abstractly. By a kever, it's not part of, but it's true it's forbidden to plant there, but that is not part of the kilayim issue. You don't have to plant on a grave, because a grave is also to derive benefit from, because of how long you have to with the, and deriving benefit from dead bodies, or from the kever, which is affiliated with the dead body. But that is nothing to do with kilayim, with the prohibition of kilayim, whereas deriving benefit from the grapevine is a kilayim issue. So therefore, vis-a-vis kilayim, a grapevine must be regarded as extraterritorial. Vis-a-vis the halacha of kilayim, a kever, whether although it has its own isra anah, since that isra of benefit has nothing to do with kilayim, therefore it doesn't have to be regarded as extraterritorial. Ask the Gemara, vavodas hagefen ein isra banoya? Wait a minute. On the other hand, that may be true, but after all, the reason why there's 6 tefachim of vacant space on every side of a grapevine is because a grapevine is osur banoah, and therefore the surrounding environs must be osur banoah as well, meaning that the we have to have 6 tefachim on all sides of the grapevine in order the grapevine shouldn't have intermingling with other grain around it. So therefore, that 6 tefachim around the grapevine should also be considered to be extraterritorial. Okay? So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Omar, Ella, I'm sorry, Armish is going to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Omar ain't avoided the Gevin Yechidis. Rabbi Shmuel says that one does not require a distance of 6 tefachim between a solitary grapevine and surrounding grain. The only time Rabbi Shmuel required it is between a vineyard and surrounding grain, but not between a solitary grapevine and surrounding grain. And therefore, since that is the case according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're saying in our Mishnah, specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the 6 tefachim which surrounds the grapevine, a vacant space, joins up to make up the shear of the 10 amos required between the two types of grain. Now, there's the Rash, who's a Rishon here, takes out the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. Till Tvua. It's locked? The Rash is not in there. It's a commentary on the Mishnayos. But very often he throws in, all the time he brings down the Gemaras and talks about the Gemaras. Rishon, yeah. The Rash Mishans. It's one of the Bali Tosfos. Now, says Gemara, do you have the place Tvua B'Tvua? Well, you'll have to catch up. Yeah. Tvua B'Tvua. If you have, we said in our Mishnah, if you have grain next to grain, base rova. You have to have between them an area of 10 amos. Again, the 10 amos separation between two types of grain. Now, it says, Maravach lote chavusha me'abru chosel. We said this once before. We said that there's a prohibition of having grain of one sort surrounded on all four sides by grain of another sort, even if there's a distance of 10 amos between the outer perimeter of grain and the inner one. Now, the Gemara asks, Rabbi Zira, boy, kumi Rabbi Yasa. Rabbi Zira asked in front of Rabbi Yasa, V'chi anon amrinon, do we say, Hada bika simunia, the valley of Simunia, which is an extremely large valley. Ein zorn l'sochel minecho bilvad, you're not allowed to plant only one type of grain there. Now, I should mention that there are two ways to make chavusha. One way to make chavusha is, of course, to plant around a perimeter of grain of one sort and put grain of another sort in the middle. Another way, which is more as referring to by Pika Simunia, is that they had a fence around the entire valley. It's a large valley, the Great Wall of Simunia. It's around the entire valley. So says Rabbi Zira, you can't plant in the entire area Bika Simunia only one type of grain because it's surrounded by a fence, because it's chavusha, meaning that the 10 amma distance would not be sufficient there because it's surrounded by a fence. It makes no sense. And the Gemara doesn't answer this question. And the Stipler's son, who wrote the commentary, which is on the bottom of my Gemara here, says, very interesting, he says, the Rambam doesn't bring down any of the halachas of chavusha. Meaning the Rambam never says this halacha, that where you have a perimeter of one grain, you can't plant another grain in the middle, nor that when you have a fence, that prohibits you from planting two types of grain within the fence, because the Gemara here ends with a question, which is not ever resolved. That what would be the definition of the extent of the fence which would prohibit the planting of kelaim therein. So therefore he hypothesizes, perhaps that's why the Rambam leaves out the entire halacha of a chavusha, because the Gemara here ends with a kasha and never resolves it. Right, the other type of chavusha should exist. Yes, good question. Okay, it's only a hypothesis which he presents, not necessarily true. Surrounded. Yeah, enveloped. Literally means a prison. There are two types. One is where a fence surrounds an area and then you can't plant two types of grain within that fence. Another is where one type of grain surrounds another type of grain. You plant it like in a box. Okay? It says Mar Mesi, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanon, Rabbi Lezer as Rabbanon. Kimodi Sechon Kal Bishur. Now this is going back on our, it's going back on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Lezer says there's a distance. I think I skipped the line when I read the Mishnah before. Rabbi Lezer says the Mishnah said that the distance between a yerek and a yerek, between two types of vegetables, 6 tvachim. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Tvua b'yerek, when you have a grain next to a vegetable, or yerek b'tvua, or a vegetable next to a grain, it's based over this has to be 10 amos. Rabbi Lezer said, no, yerek b'tvua, 6 tvachim. If you have a grain next to a vegetable, all you need the distance between one and the other, 6 tvachim. Not more than that. Okay? So that's, he's a kula, right? It's only six tefachim. Just like between two vegetables, you only require two six tefachim. You know, between a vegetable and a grain, you only require six tefachim. Whereas Rabbanan obviously holds very, very much more stringent that you need nine plus amos more. You need between one grain and a vegetable, you need a full 10 1/4 amos. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanin, Rabbi asked the rabbis, come on, he's the just like you hold that there is a leniency by a row, the chomer b'meruba, and a stringency by a box. I'll explain what this means in a minute. Now here the Rosh Sirileo, which is a commentary, which is in the back of the Gemara, not on the page itself, changes here the language of the Ushami here. He says, "Kain isli kal b'meruba." I also hold that there's a kula, a leniency in a square. Now, what does this mean? We're going to learn later on, in a few lines, that if you're planting not a field of vegetables next to grain, even Rabbanan hold, no distance is required whatsoever. The only distancing which is required between vegetables and grain is when you have two patches next to each other. But if you plant a strip of vegetables right next to a grain field, that's okay. That's fine.
Those two distinct areas,
right. Which is a big, we're going to discuss the parameters of that in a few minutes. One furrow. A furrow. The Mara's going to tell us exactly what the definition of the strip is, but not yet, in a few lines. Whereas, so, just like you have a kula by a strip and a severity by a square, meaning a patch, I hold the same that there's a kula also by a square. In other words, a square also doesn't require the distance of 10 tefachim, 10 amos. All it requires is a 6 tefach gap. Like we learned, where do we see this halach of a strip? If you want to make a strip of vegetables within your grain field, you're allowed to do that. How do you do it? You must make a strip which is 10 amos wide, 10 amos long, excuse me, and Esra amos of mechta, 10 amos and a half, a roch of shisha by 6 tefachim wide. It can't be smaller than that. Why can't you make a smaller strip than that? It has to be nikkar, right? It has to be recognizable as being an independent thing. So it's got to be at least 10 and a half amos wide by 6 10 and a half amos long by 6 tefachim wide. Okay? Logic. There is no pasuk for any of this. There's no pasuk for anything which we're learning right now. Later on this evening we'll have pasuk, but not now. This is all pure logic. So,
why is that logical?
Well, we're not farmers. You have to be, we're all city slickers. But the assumption is that farmers know exactly. Obviously, they pick 10 and a half, you know? They didn't pick around. Nice Jewish number, like 12 or 7. No, it has to be 10 and a half. 10 and a half. So, anyway, caught at the time, like we said again, I wrote to last, so sure, told state for somebody wants to make a row of vegetables within a grain field. You make 10 and a half amma long furrow, a row of shisha by 6 fucking wide. Okay, so it's actually not more than one furrow. I shouldn't say it's a furrow. It's a strip, and we're going to see in a minute that in that six tefachim width, there are going to be several vegetable plants. Amrei B'Yochan, B'Yochan said, Eino zarei l'socha elamin echo b'yovan. B'Yochan said, if you want to create this type of strip next to your field, it has to be recognizable that it's all one unit of vegetation, and therefore it can only be one type of vegetation within that strip. Amr Abzir said that's not always true. Motor Abiyochan concedes, Shayu Shiva, that where the strip was 7 tefachim wide. Shuzareh tefach mikan v'tefach mikan. You plant a tefach on each side, and also chamisha in the middle 5, which you leave fallow. Nidoyim l'kan l'kan concluded in either side's reckoning. This is an interesting halacha. Here you have, normally, the strip itself has to be 6 tefachim wide. However, here, where the strip is 7 tefachim wide, so in this case here, picture number Chav Zayin in this Gemara, you have one tefach over here of vegetation, another tefach over here of vegetation, 5 tefachim fallow in the middle. This strip is considered to be filled in by the fallow area, and that strip is considered to be filled in by the fallow area.
Six on each side.
It's really 6 on each side that way, and that's okay. Okay, so says the Gemara, mad Rebbe Zira. For now, which Rebbe Zira? Now here's is messed up again. It should be min mad ma Rebbe Zira. The next word is the stipler takes out min mad ma Rebbe Zira. Al the Rabbi Yochanan Tamon. For that which Rabbi Zira just said here, it's the same thing Rabbi Yochanan had said previously. We had this a few blot ago. There was a case like this here, in this scenario over here. The halach is, if you want to plant, you're allowed to plant, we had learned back then the concept of Rosh Tor. You're allowed to plant one field on an angle to another field. However, that's only if and they can be immediately adjacent to each other as long as one is angled against the other one. However, we have learned that that's only true where the angled field of grain is at least a base rova in size. But he said if you had one base rova, half base rova of one type of grain, then another half base rova in the middle, which is fallow, and then another half base rova of another type of grain, we said that the fallow half base rova in the middle joins up with either one of them to constitute a full base rova in theory, if that not in practice. So that's the same principle we're applying here, that fallow strips in the middle are considered to be a fulfillment of either side. Okay? Over there we said it in that context, and here we said it in this context here. It's the same idea. Says the Gemara, not a chatzi shura. What if you had planted half that strip, say 5 1/4 amos long by 6 fucking wide? You planted half the strip, and now you want to plant right next to it. You want to start another strip. Now you intended perhaps to finish that 5 1/4 strip, which you started, but you haven't finished it yet. And you want to plant in the interim, before you finish it, another type of grain or vegetable right next to it. That's forbidden. You have to first complete the strip which you are making. Rechitza said, it's forbidden. Until you finish the entire length of the strip, which makes it discernible as a unit unto itself, you can't plant any other type next to it. We say to the guy, either approve with that which you already planted or fill or finish it before you start on planting any other type of commodity immediately adjacent thereto. Rabbi Yudan Amar, Rabbi Yudan said the following issues of Machlokes. Rabbi Chia Bar Bar and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak had the following machlokas. Chadamar filu shlosha etoch shisha. That which we say that you cannot plant the half a strip and then plant something immediately next to it, it's only in the length of the strip. But what about in the width of the strip? It's a machlokas. Let's say you planted only 3 of the 6. The other 3 are still fallow. So that's okay. So long as you planted 3 of the 6, it's fine. You can plant the next of the strip something else, which is not of the same type. Charon Amar, no, that's not good, but this is good. If you have a case like this, this is sufficient. Let's find the picture. See that? One row of the 6 tefachim width, you have 3 rows of vegetation. 1, 2, 3, which don't take up the entire 6 tefachim, because there are gaps in the middle. But that's okay. That array constitutes something recognizable. Why? Because all the boundaries of this patch, of this strip, and the middle of the strip are taken up by seedlings. Okay, so that works. Okay? That's what Gemara is saying. Not when it's like this, where you planted three and left three fallow next to it, but only where you distribute it within the strip. Okay? Says more further. I don't know which of these two Amoraim which I quoted was of which opinion. As long as there is no desolate area, in other words, that you can put three out of six is enough, but you can't have empty, what's the word? Literally means desolate places, charevas. But you can't have empty spots, you can't have bald spots. You can't have bald spots within those three tvachim. So from this I derive, I have a Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchak, who do Amar Afilu Echa Mikon Ve'Echa Mikon Ve'Echa Mi Emtza. It must be that Rabbi Shmuel Yitzchak, the other opinion, who's the one who holds that you have one on one side, and the other side. Because in this case, you have bald spots. This is a bald, this leaves a lot of bald spots. Rabbi Yochum wanted to allow this.
The first Magyamar says, doesn't say what the arrangement is.
No, but the assumption is that there's no bald spots in that arrangement. That's what we're saying here. It must be this case leaves no bald spots. Right? Because you have all three fucking which you planted solidly. This case leaves many bald spots, right? So Rabbi Yochum said this case is no good. It must be that he holds only this case is good, three out of six, as opposed to distributed dispersed plants across the six tefach strip. Okay, that's what Gemara is saying. These must be heavily packed, no bald spots. Vegetables.
How many different kinds?
One. This is all just one kind of vegetable. Because it's fallow. It's not planted with another type of grain. So his rationale is that it looks like part of the strip which hasn't yet been cultivated. I understand. It's a chiddush what he's saying. I agree with you. It's a novel concept. But he's saying that the three fallow, since they're immediately adjacent to three which are thickly planted, are considered to make up a full strip. Okay? Sorry about that. I can only tell over the Gemara I can't shape it.
I'm not the Rosh.
Yeah. I'm not the Rosh. That's the problem. No, can't do that. Maybe the next time I go through Shami, I'll try and. Says Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, Yitzchak Rabbi Chareva Mutar. Now, everybody agrees. Like in this case, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees. If there are a few broad spots, but they're far outweighed by the planted areas, such as this picture, and that's okay, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds this case, no, Bechia Barba, name Rabbi Yochanan holds this case is bad. Right, because there are a lot of bald spots, but this case, since it's primarily planted, that's considered sufficient. This case. Well, that's but even this case, Rabbi Chia Barba named Rabbi Yochanan is not an okay, because there's a lot of bald spots between the outer perimeter and the middle strip. Okay, says more for the Tani. We learn Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'Dalas Hamitzris. Five things were stated by the Greek courts. Emesachin Osogami Dvarim. Now, the Greek courts, as we mentioned, the Mishnah have very, very luxuriant foliage, large leaves, which make a very, very, complete canopy when they grow over things. So that causes certain halachas to be true about Greek gourds. First of all, Amos Sachin and Sol Gabi's Roy, one cannot allow the Greek gourd to form a canopy over grain, because that creates kilayim. Revia Satuma, if you have a dead body under Greek gourd, since the leaves are create such a beautiful canopy that allow forbids a kohen from standing under the gourd because cause the tumah to spread underneath the gourd, and vice versa, chotzetzes is a tumah. If you have tumah above the gourd, you're allowed to stand under the gourd, and vice versa. It interrupts the tumah from spreading. Vo'oktzot tefach, the gourds themselves, what is considered to be the handle of the gourd. In other words, there's a spurt in halacha by Tumah and Tara that if you touch the handle of a fruit, meaning the amount of twig which makes it convenient to carry the fruit, so then the fruit itself becomes tummy. You're tummy, I'm assuming. So you're mitami the fruit. So what's considered to be the shear of the handle, normally the handle of a fruit is very small. Right, but here, since the gourds are very large, the gourds themselves are very large, the shear of a handle is a tefach. Okay, that's considered to be the amount of twig which is affiliated with the fruit. And when you have any Greek gourds growing in the vicinity of any type of other growth, so it immediately asers. There is no minimum shear for it to aser. We learned before that sometimes the shear is 1/24th and so on and so forth. Here it asers immediately because they're so significant. Says Gemara, Hanoyder, besides that, one more. Hanoyder min adluim, so he takes an oath not to eat, get benefit from gourds. The only gourd which his oath applies is the Greek gourd, because the Greek gourd is considered to be so choshev and so significant that, by definition, it is the gourd which you meant in taking your oath. Okay, says the Gemara further. Rabbi Yonah asked the question on this enumeration of the unique qualities of Greek gourds. V'loma leis ananomin. Why don't we say mevia es hatuma v'chotzetzes es hatuma tarti? Why do we enumerate that it causes the tumah to spread underneath its canopy, and then it interrupts the tumah which is on the other side's canopy? Why don't we enumerate that as two qualities? And I think it was only one quality. Yeah. Koshu and noyde minat luin. Okay, so Tai Bar Kor, in this vein, Bar Kapor enumerated seven qualities. Amisaki the Sogabizroim, we can't allow to have any awning over any canopy over any seeds. Umbiza Tuma, it causes Tuma to spread underneath its canopy. Says the Tuma, it interrupts Tuma from spreading. Viyad a Tefach, it has a handle of a Tefach. Venoisim lo avadosa. This is a new one, which we hadn't seen previously, that if you want to put any other growth next to it, you have to leave 6 tefach of space, just like a grapevine. Because it's considered to have so much significance that there must be 6 tefach gap between it and anything else. We climb Aramis, and now a couple of other new things, that it creates climb with Aramean gourds, climb Mutsa and climb with a Ramutsa, which is another type of gourd, because they're different types of gourds. He counted these 7 qualities, Lotan says, but he did not mention the quality that it assers that its forbidden quantity is minute, a koshu is assers. The Lotan also didn't mention the concept of nether. Rabbi Yasi said, Rabbi Gamliel said, Nafik Lashuki went out to the Shuk. Asim Shale, they asked him, Sibuch Sha'amru Pinogea. Our Mishnah said that if you have the distance between 2 grains, or 2 vegetables at the base, even if on top they come close to each other, right, because they incline into the vacant space, our Mishnah said it's okay. So they asked him, what about if they actually touch over the top? So by Greek gourd, obviously that's not good. We said it can't touch at all. But here, what about anything else? Asim Shorle, Sibuk Shomer Noge, what about if it touches? Asim Shorle, Avoisa, Rabbi Gamliel, son of Rebbe, went and asked his father, Rebbe, Armele, Sibuk Shomer Noge, even if it touches? That's okay. As long as at the bottom you have the necessary distance, if on top they touch, it doesn't bother us. Okay? It's a significant leniency. Rabbi Yonah said, Rabbi Hillel, same idea. Rabbi Hillel, but Rabbi Valos, Rabbi Hillel, son of Rabbi Valos, Novak Lashuki went out to the marketplace. Asim Shalom Lay, they came and asked him, Sibuch Shomru Nogea, if this thing applies to touching as well. Asim Shalom Avoyan, he came and asked his father, Rabbi Valos, Armele, Sibuch Shomru Nogea, does apply even if they touch. Mao Ra and Istiv Rami Dvarai. It said in our mission, the Rebbe said that I have a tradition to be machmir, that even not just by Greek gourds, but by two other types of plants, by kishus, which is another type of squash, or hops, I'm not sure which one, and by Egyptian legumes, that one is not allowed to allow the trees to incline towards the vacant space. Rabbi said, however, after having brought down this tradition, he says, I don't think my tradition is right. I like the tradition mentioned by the other Tanoim. So says the Gemara, what does it mean? I see that words are over mine. If an Egyptian gourd, which does, Egyptian, not Greek, Egyptian gourd, which does get mixed in with other trees, you say, I'm not concerned and that's okay. Which are not so luxuriant, even as a Egyptian gourd, Lokoshke, it's certainly okay. All right, Rabbi Abba Mori, Rabbi Mori said, Lokenava Rabbi Mona Amar. This is not how Rabbi Mona learned this issue. Rather, and the next two words are taken out by the Or Zeruah, Kol Hein Ditznina Kishus Pula Mitzri. Not that it's a Kava Chomer, that if Egyptian gourds are okay, certainly kishos and Egyptian legumes are okay. Rather, he learned that by definition, this is a congruent type of tree. Kishos and pula mitzri are the same as Egyptian gourds. Ma ron es divrei midvarai. So ask the Gemara, why did Rabbi accept the logic of the rabbis over his own tradition? Because none of them have the unique qualities of creating such a luxuriant and far spreading and frankly the getting mixed, you know, the capacity to get mixed up with other trees, that kind of canopy, as much as a Greek gourd, so therefore a Greek gourd should remain unique. And I'm sure if you're somewhat mystically inclined, you can extrapolate from a Greek gourd to Greek culture and say something about how Greek culture tends to intertwine in its luxuriance with any type of ideology. But not for tonight. We're not learning Jewish, we're learning halacha. And then we go on to the next parak, which begins to discuss a new concept which we haven't seen yet, the concept of aruga. Now maybe the pictures here, I have good pictures in here, but maybe the pictures in here are even better. Oh, it's, I don't know if it's better, but there are a lot of cute pictures here. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Eretz Yisrael, yeah. Okay? So he never left Eretz Yisrael. Aruga Shishishal Shishal Tvachim. A vegetable patch. This is a vegetable patch. It's a miniature patch. It's 6x6 tvachim. So bear in mind, we're dealing with a minuscule area here. This is almost 6x6 tvachim here. 1, 2, 3. Right, so it's about 3 tvachim.
We're all city slickers. You drive outside of the city and you see farmers planting their vegetables. There are very distinct rows, much more than 6 tvachim.
Right. But we're going to learn now. You'll have to adjust what we're about to learn because it's not what you think it is. Let's see what we're going to see. Aruga shishisha al shisha tvachim. Zorim betoicha, in this area of 6x6 tvachim, you can plant within it chamisha zironim, 5 types of grain. You have an area of 6x6 tvachim, you can plant within 5 types of grain. Arba b'aruga zaruga, 4 on the 4 sides of the aruga, vechod b'emtza, and 1 in the middle. Now, there are many different interpretations of this line. Here, I'll show you some of the interpretations here. It's in the article that brings down a couple, but not all of them. What does it mean, 4 on the 4 sides and 1 in the middle? So here are a few ways of learning. Rashi learns, this is Rashi. Rashi has, you have a strip here, a strip here, a strip here, a strip here, and one seedling in the middle. Okay? These only touch on an angle. You see that? So therefore that's okay, because touching on an angle is okay. The ones on the perimeter. The one in the middle, since it needs to have something close to 3 tvachim, two each side, so that's why you only can put one seedling there in the middle. Okay? That's the Rashi. The Tosfos doesn't like this concept of Rosh Tor, because after all, we mentioned in the previous pair, the Rosh Tor has to emanate from a rova, from a base rova. Now, granted, that was grain, and this is vegetables, and never the twain shall meet. But nonetheless, he doesn't like the concept of touching by Rosh Tor, so therefore he has the four sides being much shorter amounts of grain. So you got three tefachim as he has drawn on the angle between each type of grain. Okay, so that's the three tefachim distance there. Okay, that's the Tosfos. The Rosh holds it like this. Very cool picture, right? You have the four types of grain go in cut off arrowheads, right? And they're cut off in such a way as to leave three tefachim distance between the tops of the arrowheads. And the loch is that the one seedling then I can remake and put at a distance of a tefach and a half from each one of the tops of the cut off arrowheads. See that? Well, these are types of five grains. That now the kash according to Rashi, which the Stipler's son asks, if that's the case, why can't you plant even more? Plant nine types of grain, like this. See, I'm sorry, not on the Rashi, on the Rosh. On the Rosh, why can't you plant nine types of grain? If you all you had is need a tefach and a half gap between each one. So then have a tefach and a half between each one and put three on each perimeter, three on each side of the perimeter, which all together makes eight, right? And one seedling in the middle, which will make nine. So he says the doichak answer, is that you can't do that because it's too many in one patch. After it's a small patch. So nine times grain, it no longer looks orderly and distinct. And therefore, the maximum you can have is five, not nine. Even though hypothetically the measures would work out, in practice we don't allow it. The Rambam learns this Mishnah like this. The Mishnah is five types of grain, but he allows Rosh Tor in this case, even in the middle one. So here he has a very, very significant leniency, right? That the middle square can be on an angle to the four surrounding rectangles, and you can fill up much more of the patch. Okay, again, because of the angle theory. The kash on the Rambam, which the type of the son asks, is that, again, you should be able to get nine in. Right? So you should be able to get nine in. So again, the answer which you could give, although it does give a different answer here, the answer you could give is that you need at least a tefach. I'm sorry, you can't have nine. Same answer for the Rosh. You can't have nine. It looks like too many. But he gives another answer. He says that you need to have at some area, at some place, gaps in this picture, which is actually two tefachim. But in this case over here, if you had a checkerboard, there's no gap of more than a tefach. So, or no gap of tefach and a half. There are gaps of more than a tefach, but no gap of more than a tefach and a half, so therefore it's no good. But that seems like a very complicated answer. Simple answer seems to be like just like the Rosh didn't allow nine because it's too many different types, so too the Rambam the same thing. Okay? Now, that's the Mishnah. Not all the Mishnah, but the Mishnah we learned till now. Hayla Gvul. Let's say you had around the patch. You had a gvul, a border. Now this border is gavoa tefach, it's a tefach high. And slopes count. So you see what's happening? We have 6x6, and then we have a tefach higher, you have a boundary, a border, of a tefach wide. So it's all together, we're dealing with 8x8, right? I think it's 8x8. We're dealing with 8x8 because you have a perimeter, which is a tefach higher, well, on each side, and a tefach broader as well. Let me just make sure.
Where is the slope of the...
It's not a slope. It's a ridge. A ridge. Okay, it's not sloped at all. It's a ridge. Okay, so that's the... that's this case over here. All these cases over here. Yeah, 8. Okay? So in this case, also we were going to have several shitas, obviously, go following the shitas which we had at the beginning. But in the meantime, let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hey, look, vulgavot tefach zoyim besochi. You can't complain with it. It should shlosha asor. 13 types of vegetables. Shlosha kol gvul gvul. 3 on each boundary. Vechabemtza, 1 in the middle." And again, you have various different interpretations here. You have here, it could be that it's the Rosh Hashita is that you need a tefach and a half separation between each one on the boundary. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then you get in the middle, right, five tefachim worth approximately of grain in the middle. Then you have the sheet of the Rambam, which gives you much even more leniency, right? You make the angle, as long as that angle, then it's okay, and so on and so forth. You get the idea, right? Okay. Now, by the way, in this case over here, the reason why he has five tefachim, according to the Rosh, is because you have still a tefach and a half distance between this middle patch and the sides. Why? Because you have the chatzi tefach on each side of the five tefachim, plus you have what else? The tefach of the height of the ridge, right? They have the height of the ridge, which makes it a tefach and a half distance. You have a good picture of that there? Any better picture? Same thing. Essentially the same. Okay, fine. Yes. Okay? So, says lo yita, a person should not can't plan Rosh Lefes B'toch HaGvul. You should not, however, plant a turnip head as one of your vegetables on the boundary. Nation Malayu, because it's not luxuriant like a Greek gourd. We're not talking about trees. We're talking about little vegetables. But it has a lot of leaves. Since there's a lot of leaves, it's going to take up more space than is permissible. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Shisha B'Emtza. Rabbi Yehuda says you get to plant 6 in the middle. And the one is going to learn out Xeris Kodesh. It's not 5, it's 6. Now, what is Xeris Kodesh? If you asked me before for Pesukim, here's a Pesuk. We have, there's a Pesuk is the, in, where is it? Yisrael. It's one of the Sheva and the 7 Haftaras of Nechama, which we have coming up. So it says here that, like the land will give forth its full growth, and like a vegetable patch, its seeds, multiple seeds, will grow. We see you can plant multiple seeds in a vegetable patch, and it won't be kilayim, because otherwise Yishayo Anavi would not say you plant zeruah. You say, how can he say, must be you can plant multiple seeds in a vegetable patch. Do you see that? It says, plural. So it must be two types of, you can plant at least two types of seed in a vegetable patch. Because it says, in a gina, in a patch, a vegetable patch, you can plant zru'el. That's Lashon Rabbim, that's plural. So you get to plant at least two. Question that we get up to 5, but at least 2 we got. Okay? What? That should just say Zara. Zara, if we're talking about a lot of one type, we would not use plural. We would say it's seed. Because in Hebrew, Zara means, you know, like by Paro we say Sus Veroch Barom Vayom. So a lot of the same thing is in Hebrew grammatically is called by the object itself. Though we don't use Rabbin for that. We don't use plural for that. Right? Sus Veroch Barom Vayom, where God drowned the Egyptians. So it says horse and rider means all the horses and all the riders. Right? So since they're all the same type of horse, the same type of rider, so therefore it says sus virochbo. Here too, we're referring to multiple seeds of the same type. Would say zara, wouldn't say zruel. Okay? Now, the thing is, that only indicates 2. Because mut ravim shnayim. The minimum amount of multiples is 2. How are you get up to 5? That takes some talent here. Rav Shulvai said, Mishnaim at Lomid Arba. If you can plant two, you can plant four. For sure. Why is that? Because how do you plant two? The way you plant two is by the good old angle theory, the Rosh Tor theory. So how do you get two? Like this. By the way, I skipped a whole bunch of pictures here in the Mishnah just for simplicity's sake. I hope you're moichumi. But he says here, this is how you get two, right? By angling. Well, then you can get four as well. How do you get four? By having a German cross, right? World War I cross, not a World War II cross. Right? So that you have a... That if you can have two by angling, you can have four by angling. Okay? That makes sense? So we're already up to four. If two works, four works. How do you get a fifth one? So says the Gemara again. You put it at the beginning of six and you narrow it in. You put it at the beginning of six, you narrow it in. And since all these are Rosh Tors, so you can put in the middle a single seedling as well. It was an interesting thing. I'm not sure I understand the logic of that. But if you get four angles, you get one seed in the middle, which is that angle to all the different four. That's how you get five. Okay? Is that clear? You don't have to like it. That's what it says here. That's how you get five. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yonah said, Avoida pokea ba avoida. You're allowed to have a case of where the this, well, actually he's attacking the point which I just mentioned, saying this is okay. The avoida, meaning this, the area of this patch could touch this avoida. That's okay. That I agree with you. However, says Rabbi Yoina, v'ein min pogeh b'chaveiro l'chovsho. What right do you have to allow this seed in the middle, which is going to be surrounded by all the other seeds? That can't work. So therefore, you can't create such a scenario, because this seed in the middle is not at an angle. It's surrounded by all types of seeds. So that's no good. So the Gemara really doesn't answer that question. I assume what the Gemara would have answered is that, well, I can still draw you a scenario which you get five, because of all the scenarios I had previously, right? It's true that this scenario five, the German cross is no good, but all these scenarios of five do work. So therefore, if you can make two, you can make four. If you can make four, you can make five. I can make five by any of the scenarios: the Rashi, the Tosis, the Rash, and so on and so forth. Okay. Says more further. Yes. Sure.
In the Rosh Tor, is there the head of the triangle? Is there a seed of the triangle?
A seed of the same type.
Whatever's below.
Right.
Yes. They're immediately adjacent. They're hard up against each other.
Right. So you have two. So to me, in effect, how do you have a Rosh Tor with the four crosses? Except for the case of the prior page, where this one, they're definitely separate. You can have the seedling in the middle. You
have
the Rosh Tor or whatever. Whatever you don't even need it.
Right.
But here, the only way to have the Rosh Tor is to have the seedling in the middle share in all of them.
Right. I think that's really part of the one's question. You don't think that's going to ask when it calls it chavusha?
But I think that's the solution.
Right.
In order for the Rosh Tor.
But how can it be part of any of those if it's a different type of seed than any of those?
Well, I guess maybe it has to be one of them.
But it can't, then we wouldn't get up to five. We're trying to get up to five. Right, we only have four. We're trying to get up to five. Which is why the Gemara probably would have had to resort to one of those. That's why I think. Says Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, Shimon Levi holds, like we had said in our mission, that it's possible to get six and not just five. He darshens. Now here, the, also the gears is matched up. Here the Rav Fulda Sinachron changed the gears, so it should be Zera. It says Ruel, so it could have said Zera, right? So let's see what's actually there. Could have, once it said Zera, okay, should have written Zera. He added on a hey and made it Zara. Then he added on a yud and made it Zruela. So there are two extra words there, two extra letters there. Two extra letters teach us each one is multiplied, right? Zera would be right. But he's not darshing that though. I'm sorry. No, these are all achronim. The Pnei Moshe is an achron. Yeah, there are no achronim on the page here. But he says here, the way the Stipler Son explains it, he's actually darshaning the amount of letters. Because it says Zera would have been three letters. Doesn't say that. It says Zara, which is four letters. Doesn't say that. It says Ru'el, which is actually five letters. That's no good. No, it's written Chaser.
Really? This one has a written Malach. Oh, it has a Yud.
Oh, I see. Okay, it's not like Rebbe either. Fine. No, that's where it's going to bring it down. Right, that's the gears. That's how he could. That's why the Rav Fulda and the Rav changed the gears. So, look, this way we have. Shimon Levi says Zera. Zruel, it could have said Zara. It could have said even Zara, but it says Zruel. Five letters, that's five meaning. Uchu Rabbi Yehuda. How do you like Rabbi Yehuda, who says six meaning? The Rabbi Yehuda no mark, because Rabbi Yehuda explained that, because explained Shisha, there's six. Zera, Zruel, Zera, Zara, Zruel, and he learns that Zruel is written Mole, with six letters. Which is actually the machlokas, how the word is written in the Navi. It's written with five letters, which should be five minim, or six letters, which should be six minim. Okay, so that's actually the machlokas. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chage Omar, Zruel Chamisho. Wherever it says Zruel in the Torah, it's five, or it should, nah, it should be with five letters. Kol Ahein, the Anamishkacha Shlo, Vav, should be. Anytime I find an extra Vav, Anamachikle, I erase it. Because it should be written Chaser, not Moli. It should be written five letters, Ruel, without the extra Vav, and not six letters with the extra Vav. Ishtil, so I want to stop for the Sidra, because I asked Rav Huna, who was the Sofer in the base Medrash, and he said, Zruel Malia. No. So he said, that's what I originally used to do. I originally used to erase the Vavs. Then I asked Rav Huna Safar, the Safar decision. He told me, no, every time it says Ruah, it's written Mole, and the Taka of the Vavs are there. Okay. Rabbi Yochum Shem Rabbi Yana said, Kulam Betoch Shisha. Everything we learn now is within the six.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Normally, from now, the Gemara basically says, you know, it's basically, it's sort of like, it's not
secondary limud.
That's right. The din doesn't really come from that limud.
But now let me make your question strong, because here, where have we ever seen a limud based on the amount of letters which there are in a word? Never saw such a thing. Yeah. I can't answer you, because my feeling is that the Yerushalmi doesn't have the same types of drasha as the Bavlis. Which we're used to the Bavlis type of drasha, which is A, almost never from Navi, B, we don't darshan letters, darshan words, extra letters perhaps, but now don't darshan the amount of letters. But it could be the Yerushalmi is a different methodology of drasha. So I don't want it to, I don't know that I necessarily can even come legitimately and answer your question, because you're basing your question on a Babylonian premise, and we're learning Yerushalmi, it might not be the same thing. Okay, they might actually darshanach. We might see that they darshanach all over. Yes, that's very strange. Yes. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yehuda said again, Kulun B'Soch Shisha, they're all within the six Tvachim. Kahana B'Shem Rishim B'Log said, Kulun Chutz L'Shisha. That is interesting. He holds that really it's not mutter to plant any of these within the patch, only surrounding the patch, meaning, like this. Not where you have a ridge, but rather where you actually have a patch of eight. See the patch of eight?
No.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong picture. I'm sorry. Scratch that. This picture over here. See where you have the patch of six, and you plant the extra four around the perimeters. So he says, all these heterim, which we learned over here in the Mishnah, which are to plant five types within the patch, that's prohibited. He says, what is okay? Only to plant the extra four types around the perimeter of the patch, on outside the patch. See, here's the patch. You do it only outside the patch, not within the patch. Excuse me? Still five kinds. He's machmir, because he holds you only planted outside the patch, not inside the patch. Okay? The patch can only have one type within it. They still need a pet tefach and a half between each type, but an effort has to be outside the patch. Says Gemara, im kulo chutz shisha niste tisha, hey, if you have to plant them all outside, make it nine! Like this! Like mem hey. Why not make it nine? It'll work. See, you can have a tefach and a half between each one and have nine. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Make it like this. So, Zmar, you're right. Theoretically, you could have had nine. Why in the Mishnah tell you about nine? So, Zmar, Omer Rabbi Tanchum, Butzairo, V'cheni be'arugos she'barugos himas nisa. V'cheni, this is the way it is. Our Mishnah tell you about a patch among patches. Then you can only do five. Why? Because then you have to vary them. This is a cool picture. This is the way you want to plant your field. You want to have many, multiple patches, one next to each other. Don't ask you why you're doing this. You're cockamamie. You're not doing this to make money, obviously, because this is a very, very inefficient way to plant your field. But you want to plant your field with the most possible minimum. So then you can't do more than five, because you must alternate in order to maintain equidistance. You see how all these pieces interlock? So since that's the case, you can only do five, one in the middle of each of these, and four on the perimeters, with each perimeter one corresponding to the interlocking space in the other one, in order to continuously get a difference of a tefach and a half between them. Okay? The reason why you can't do nine is because then you couldn't make the interlocking mesh effect. Because then you'd have one in the middle of each side, which would impede this effect, and you wouldn't get the proper distancing. So when you're talking about making multiple patches in the same field, you need to have that interlocking effect. And that's why you have over here the case only with five, one in the middle of each of these and four in the perimeters, in order to achieve that interlocking.
You're saying there's one like...
in the middle, right, which is not pictured. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.
I believe we did our two plot plus something.